There was this man who really loved dogs. Do we have any dog lovers? Cat lovers? Hamster lovers? Don't want to leave anybody out. This man devoted his life to dogs. He read about them. He studied them. He gave talks about them, would go out into the community and talk to other dog lovers. And one day he decided that he was going to pour a new sidewalk in front of his house. His neighbor, you know how neighbors are, he's watching from the window as this guy smoothed out the very last square of cement. Just then this large dog appears and walks right through the fresh cement, leaving paw prints behind. The man mutters, I don't know if he muttered, probably muttered something that I can't say here this morning, but he smooths out the damage, goes back inside because he's going to get some twine so that he can build a fence around the sidewalk to keep people, to keep dogs from getting in the wet cement. And when he gets back outside, he discovers more dog tracks in the fresh cement. So he smooths it out again, puts up his little fence around it, goes back in the house. 5 minutes later, he looks outside, and guess what? More paw prints in the cement. So he gets his trowel, he smooths it out one more time, goes back to the porch. The dog reappears and sits right down in the middle of that sidewalk. He goes inside and he grabs his gun. The neighbor rushes over and says, you know, well, why are you doing that? I thought you loved dogs. And the man thought for a minute, and he says, well, I do like dogs, but that's in the abstract. I hate dogs in the concrete. Maybe that's how many of us feel about our topic this morning. We love to hear about forgiveness in the abstract, but when it hits close to home, we hate it in the concrete. But if you're looking for relationships that are valued, relationships that last, we must be willing to forgive. As we continue to dig for the truth in our series this summer, we're going to use Joseph from the Old Testament as our backdrop this morning. I mean, here's someone who was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery by his own brothers, nonetheless. When he gets to Egypt, he's jailed for a couple of years. Do you think if you were Joseph and all these things happened to you, that you would struggle a little bit with forgiveness? Charles Spurgeon, he's been called the Prince of Pastors, Prince of Preachers. He's credited with coming up with this proverb during one of his sermons. He says, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. So yes, we're thankful for the sun. That same sun that melts wax also hardens the clay. It's a way of saying that the same circumstances can cause different responses in people to make them bitter or to make them better. We might find ourselves wounded, or we might find ourselves stronger, bitter, and angry. That's the dilemma that Joseph finds himself in. He can be bitter, he can be angry, or he can forgive those who charted this course in life for him. So listen to the story this morning as these same brothers show up at Joseph's doorstep several years later. But then, as Jesus often does, his answer to Peter, kind of unexpected, kind of disarming, the 22nd verse of that chapter, again, Matthew chapter 18, This is Jesus talking. I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. As I read that story, you can just about hear this crash. It's Peter falling on the ground. What, Lord? He couldn't believe his ears. 70 times 7. And can you just, you picture, you know, Peter getting out his pocket calculator and he's punching out. Lord, that's 490 times. Jesus is not suggesting that we count the number of times that we forgive someone. 298, 299, 300. Oh, I got 190 to go. No. 70 times 7 means that there's no limit to the number of times that we can forgive someone. The point that Jesus is making is that you don't keep score when it comes to forgiveness. To forgive is not a one-time act. It is ongoing. To forgive is to be forgiving over and over and over. What emotions would you have experienced if you were Joseph's brothers and you just found out who you were talking to? That's what's happening here. This famine had struck the land. Joseph's brothers, they were forced to go to Egypt to get some grain so that the family would be able to eat and survive. They never thought in a million years that they would run into Joseph. This is the one that, you know, dad loves so much that he gave him this nice, colorful coat. And they were jealous. They sold him. For all intents and purposes, they got rid of him from their life. For once and for all. Or so they thought. Since the truth of forgiveness without limits is kind of hard for us to grasp, Jesus told us a story to illustrate what he meant. In the first half of the story, Jesus deals with those of us who need forgiveness. When we've wronged someone and stand in need of their forgiveness. In the second half, he targets those of us who need to forgive others. We'll find some practical help for those times when someone has wronged us, when they're in need of our forgiveness. So again, as we continue in Matthew chapter 18, the 23rd and 24th verse, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king, Jesus says, who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed 10,000 talents was brought to him. So here's the picture. The king of the land decided to call in all his debts. So he sends out his collection agents, if you will. And they come back with this man who owed the king a considerable chunk of money. His CPAs, they're figuring out this equivalent, maybe $25 million in today's money. We're not exactly sure how he ran up this kind of debt. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it's clear that he was never able to repay the king with that kind of money that was owed. And since he couldn't pay the debt, Matthew, that 25th verse, says, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The king knew that he was never going to be able to recoup his losses. He just wanted to get back whatever it was he could. And at this point, the servant did what probably many of us would do. He falls on his knees and he says, be patient with me. I'll pay back everything. Even though he could never repay that large of a sum. But he's desperate now. He can't stand the thought of his family being sold because of this debt that he had run up. The king was moved. The Bible says he was filled with compassion. And he does something that the man doesn't even ask for. The king not only releases him, but he forgives him of the debt. This is exactly what forgiveness is all about. To forgive is to cancel the debt. When we've wronged someone and they choose to forgive us, they're in essence saying, you know, I cancel the debt. The slate, it's been wiped clean. You don't owe me anything. I release you from whatever you have to pay back to me. And then notice that the servant did not deserve this forgiveness. It was purely an act of grace. That amazing grace, mercy on part of the king. So let's explore some action steps. I like to be relevant, you know? Okay, Pastor Ken, you're talking about forgiveness. How do I forgive? If you're in need of forgiveness in your life, you have to face your friends. Or maybe it's your family. Or maybe it's your foe, your enemy. The first step you need to take if you're going to forgive is to meet with them face to face. Here's these brothers, 11 of them Joseph had. And they're meeting face to face. Years had passed. And Joseph forgives them for throwing him into the pit, for selling him to the traders that had come by. Later in the story with Potiphar, you know, he's thrown into jail. Again, a tough life. I think of Paul and all that Paul went through. And then Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 5:24. If your brother or sister or enemy or whoever has something against you, go and be reconciled to your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband or your cousin or whoever. Is there someone you need to go to? Anyone you need to call? Do you need to stop over to someone's house or their office? You have to face them. Number two, you have to own the wrong. The second step, owning the wrong that has been done. In basketball, and I was never into sports. I started my career in journalism as a sports writer and sports editor. Traveled all over three states covering college sports. And in basketball, there's a phrase that some players use when they lose that ball out of bounds or they put up a shot and they miss it. And they'll often point to themselves and they'll say, my bad. My bad. It's a way of saying it's no one else's fault. I messed up. Friend, we mess up sometimes in our relationships. And Jesus wants us to own the wrong, to say, my bad. It's just not enough to acknowledge a mistake. We need to own it. And probably the third point would be the one maybe we would be familiar with, and that's to ask for release. As the servant did with the king, you know, forgive, I'll pay back the debt, forgive me. Just to say those words, please forgive me. Oh, it's no big deal, nothing to worry about. Well, you know, I appreciate that, but I need your forgiveness. Do you forgive me? It's important to be released from that debt. Who do you need to face? What wrong do you need to own? Do you have the courage to ask for release from that debt? Let's talk about those times when we need to forgive others. This is the rest of Jesus' story. This man, he's pretty humbled now because of what the king had did. He walks away. This wonderful gift of grace, this forgiveness that the king gives him, and he runs into a friend. Owed him some money. Wasn't a lot of money in comparison to that $25 million that he had owed the king. Maybe it was $10. Maybe his friend had just borrowed some money to go out with his family at McDonald's or something. I don't know, but he hadn't paid it back yet. And instead of canceling that friend's debt, the 28th verse says he grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me. Jesus continues by telling us that the forgiven man's friend fell on his knees and asked for some time. His plea, look it up in Matthew, almost identical to when this man was facing the king. Be patient with me, I will pay you back. But there's a big difference. Instead of forgiving the wrong out of the gratitude of this forgiveness that the king had showed him, that 30th verse says he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back the debt. There's a life application here for us. We maybe find ourselves sometimes kind of like this man when we don't forgive others. We enjoy putting people in prison if they've wronged us. Not physical bars, but there's these things. We want them to suffer. We want them to hurt just as bad as they hurt us. And so we put people into prison when we use the silent treatment. We just don't talk anymore. Or we simply try to avoid them. They come down one alley in Walmart, I'm going down the other. Or we launch into this volley of just verbal assaults that go on. Think about it. It's like building the bars, caging us up, putting us in prison. Are you holding someone hostage right now? Trying to make them feel miserable? Are you determined to punish a friend or a family member or the neighbor for something that he or she said to you or did to you? So let's pick up the story and see what happens here. You know, someone saw what happened and it reported it to the king. Word got around. Soon everybody was talking about it. And it wasn't the fact that the man did not forgive his friend that shocked them. It was that he was so unforgiving after finding such mercy himself and grace. The king, he's really ticked off. He sends his soldiers to bring the man before him. And in the 32nd and 34th verses, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have done the same, had the same mercy on your fellow servant that I had on you? In anger, his master turns on him, turns him over to the torturers until he pays it all back. What happened to that man will happen to each one of us unless we learn to forgive. And to forgive. And to forgive. Remember, it's forgiving. It's an ongoing process. The tortures are going to come and they're going to take us away if we don't extend that forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Tortures. What tortures? Those tortures of anger and bitterness that just eat us from the inside out. The torture of frustration, malice. You get ulcers from that kind of stuff. You get high blood pressure, migraine headaches, lower back pain. Those hidden tortures when you're laying there awake at night and you can't fall asleep because of the wrongs that people have done to you. The tortures of an unforgiving heart. They stalk you day in and day out. They suck the joy out of your life. Why? Because we're unwilling to forgive from our heart. Or we're unwilling to receive that forgiveness in our heart.
Here's the rub. While we try to often punish and imprison those who hurt us, the reverse happens. When we don't forgive, we end up ourselves being tortured. I think that worst prison in the world is the prison of an unforgiving heart. If we nurture feelings of bitterness, we're not much better than inmates in this internal concentration camp that we've built up. Don't put off forgiveness. Don't allow the root of bitterness grow into this tree of hatred, resentment. Colossians 3:13, as you heard Lori read, bear with each other. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. To forgive, the process of giving up. That's exactly what the word forgiveness means. It means to give to someone, releasing them from the debt. It carries this idea as well of releasing and freeing yourself. It's like saying, you did something that really hurt me, but I care enough about you to release you from all obligation to ever pay me back. I forgive you completely. When we cancel the debt, we give up demands for perfect behavior, perfect justice, perfect retribution, all those things that we think we need if we're going to forgive somebody. But when we extend that forgiveness, we begin to experience the truth. Remember, we're digging for the truth here in this Old Testament series that we're studying this summer. The truth that all of us are fallible. We're all in need of being forgiven. We're all in need of grace. That amazing grace. I really like this definition that I heard. Forgiveness is like meeting someone for the first time. That means there's no baggage, no history, no grudges, no hidden resentments. To forgive means to start over by giving people a fresh start. In short, to forgive is to give grace to another and freedom to ourselves. Amen. You know, we all have a father who forgives us. So as we go, may we go as forgiven people. May we take that precious name of his son Jesus with us as we go out into the world. And may the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and build within us those forgiving hearts. Amen. If you would sing along, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord, we just pray a blessing upon each of us here as we go our way. We pray a blessing upon that which is given, not just in the plates here this morning, Lord, but in each day of our lives as we give our lives to you. Amen.